Well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Dinner with a Side of Sci-Fi. I'm Jason.
And I'm Deva.
Today, we will be making vegan rabbit nuggets and chia protein paste while discussing Mickey 7 by...
Edward Ashton.
Okay, Deva, so tell us about the recipe.
The book heavily featured rabbit food. Not rabbit food. They were eating rabbits for their protein. So we're making a vegan tofu nugget, basically. And they had some potatoes, so we're going to eat potatoes. And then they ate a lot of paste, protein paste, and they couldn't afford better food. So we did a chia pudding, which kind of isn't the best color. Probably not the best looking food, but...
Yeah, I love chia pudding, but it does look gross.
Yeah, so paste. And I will read my summary of Mickey 7. So Mickey 7 is an expendable in an expansive phase of human society. Expendables are members of new colonies and ships to these new colonies that do any work that may be fatal. If they die, their consciousness can be downloaded to a new body. So we start with Mickey 7, who is the seventh iteration of Mickey. He's stuck in a crevasse on a bug alien type planet. His buddy Birdo says it's too hard to rescue him in that crevasse. So he's just going to leave him there to die and says, hey, I'll see you as Mickey 8. Meanwhile, his girlfriend, Nasha, she's also nearby in orbit. She considers trying to rescue him, but he says it's too dangerous and he tells her to leave. So we think he's going to die, but to our surprise, we see a bug crawler creature approach him. He's nervous. He thinks this is it. But the bug crawler just kind of grabs him and, like, gently picks him up with its pincers and carries him out of the crevasse, like, right up to where his base is and leaves him there. So he's kind of surprised. It's been a while. He was there maybe overnight in that crevasse. So he stumbles into his room on base and he finds someone in his bed in his room. And it's Mickey 8! So while he was stuck in that crevasse, they thought he died and they made a new version of him. So now they have to navigate having two people in this food scarce society, which is why they're eating paste, while also dealing with Commander Marshall, who doesn't like expendables and kind of thinks they're an aberration. So everything works for a little bit. But finally, Mickey 7 has to use his wits with the creeper bugs and the commander to stay alive. Mickey 7.
Mickey 7. So what'd you think, Deva?
I liked it.
I actually really enjoyed
it.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
It was nice. We definitely need to make sure we're better about interspersing some lighthearted stuff into your books, because it was really nice to read a lighthearted book.
And it had a very kind of lighthearted tone. It was first person, I think. Was it first person?
No, it was third person, but it was all in his perspective.
Yeah, it was all in his perspective, and he was kind of a jokester, and he's, you know, had that attitude that he just, you know, like, whatever happens, happens.
Bless you. Bless you.
Which sometimes annoys me, honestly, in books. Like, sometimes I don't like that at all.
Oh, when they're perky?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't like this. But he didn't bother me. I thought it was well done.
Well, I kind of like the contrast of the fact that he was so perky despite his job. Because, I mean, at first I was thinking it wouldn't be so bad because you wouldn't remember dying, but then there was all these times where he did. Like, they keep him uploading until the very last minute, so he, like, remembers dying of radiation poisoning, and he remembers dying of bacterial infections, and he remembers dying of all these awful things.
Yeah, it was pretty gruesome, the first... So they did go through... I think they went through all the deaths he had. So the first two were...
On the ship.
On the ship, and there was some kind of issue with a piece of equipment that he had to go fix. And humans actually last longer in radiation, according to the book, than some equipment.
Yeah, once you've had a lethal dose, you'll die, but you can keep functioning for a while, like an hour.
So they're like, okay, we'll just send him. So not a pleasant way to die.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I think Mickey 2, yeah, the second one to die of radiation poisoning, actually kind of killed himself.
Yes.
He, like, took off his space helmet and just had space implosion or whatever happens to you. How do you die in free space? Is that suffocation or...
It varies. So I think you would, so it's not like in the movies, like, you don't explode.
Yeah.
And your blood doesn't boil. You don't freeze to death.
Suffocate?
I think you would suffocate. Because, like, I know that if you don't exhale all the air from your lungs, then...
The pressure?
It'll exit so quickly that it'll, like, destroy your lungs.
Ugh.
And it, so they say to exhale everything before going into space. And then also, I guess, because there's nowhere for the heat to radiate to, your body heat actually is sort of trapped in your body. So that's why they don't freeze to death right away.
I think The Expanse probably taught us how this worked and we forgot. Because
yeah.
That happened a lot.
Yeah, well, everyone survived in The Expanse. They all kind of were able to, like, yeah.
Yeah, so that was, you know, it was so terrible, the radiation poisoning. I just didn't want to. So he didn't remember that one. He saw the video of it.
Yeah, then his next few iterations, they were trying to see if the planet was fatal to humans, so they were exposing him to things, and he contracted. First, it was a viral infection, and then the second time, it was a parasitic infection of the brain. Sounds lovely.
Just both terrible. I mean, he was just very sick on the first one, you know, throwing up from both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Then the brain one, things seemed okay for a while, but then he started getting dizzy, couldn't remember things, migraines.
That one lasted a long time.
And so his girlfriend, Nasha, she was very nice and she would kind of sit with him.
Yeah, she
would stay with him. She wasn't in the room with him, but she would stay with him through these, which is kind of be like very trying.
Mm-hmm.
And some people in the society kind of think of them as lesser people. Like they are like, oh, you're an expendable.
So you're thinking of the Natalists.
Yeah, the Natalists.
So like, yes, because they believe that the soul dies with the first person. So then you're just sort of a shell after that.
Or a ghoula.
A ghoula. You are. Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, that's gotta be tough to, mm-hmm. to give up so much for this crew
mm-hmm.
and these people and have them not even think of you as a person.
Well, some of them fetishize you. So there are those people that want to have sex with you because they think that it's kind of hot in a weird way. They were Natalists too. Natalists are weird. Yeah, so I kind of like the premise of the book. I like the idea that it takes place, like, thousands of years in the future, and we're just sort of slowly creeping along and populating our arm of the galaxy. And I enjoyed, so Mickey was a historian, so he enjoyed reading history, and he, throughout the book, he's reading about all the different failed colonies.
Yeah, yeah.
And you kind of hear how all the different ways that they failed. Like, they arrived at a planet and it didn't have an atmosphere, or they arrived at a planet and there was a sentient species that killed them all, or...
Yeah. I like that a lot, too. And then he did point out eventually, he's like, well, not every planet kills us. You know, there are some that succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
But just so much kind of creativity and just imagination and what these worlds, like, and how they would kill you.
Yeah.
It was just really nice having that dotted in there.
Well, it's kind of cool that they get to meet a sentient species in the book. And, the sentient species doesn't try to kill them.
Yeah.
It sort of reminded me of the Formics in that it didn't really realize that individual humans were individuals. I thought it was like, it didn't understand what the big deal was about killing random people.
And it probably also confused them with Mickey 7 and Mickey 8 because they were kind of the same. They have the same memories, but, you know, clearly they were different people because they were two separate people.
Yeah. Although the creeper called him, was it the primary?
I think he did call him the primary. He thought he was kind of like the hive mind.
And he called Mickey his ancillary.
Yeah.
So that's how they functioned. And yeah, they're on this ice planet and it's kind of miserable. There's like 200 people trapped in this little tiny base.
And they don't have much food. And that was kind of a theme throughout the book is so Mickey 7, you know, the Commander Marshall doesn't like him anyways because he's an expendable. And he kind of has a mouth on him, you know, he's a little sassy. So he keeps decreasing his calorie rations and he has to split them with Mickey 8, unbeknownst to everyone.
Yeah, so he's already surviving on like 1,300 calories.
So it was like 2,000 at first, and then they dropped it down to 1,600. And then I think they went down to like 1,400, which is like 700 calories per person, which is
crazy.
Not enough.
No, not even close. Do you think that's pressed enough?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. So I'm going to chop the tofu.
I mean, I was surprised. Like, I did not expect Mickey 8 to be there. Like, that was a twist for me.
Oh, really? So yeah. I kind of expected it to happen. I did not expect Mickey 8 and Mickey 7 to have a threesome with Nadia.
Yeah, with Nasha.
With Nasha. And Patrick Robertson, the Twilight guy.
Robert Patterson
is playing Mickey in the movie. And I'm wondering if that means he's going to get to have a threesome with himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably. I think so, yes.
Although, yeah, so that comes out in 2025, so.
I'm excited.
I am too. Now, the name of the movie is Mickey 17. So I guess they're going to add additional deaths, is my only guess.
I think that would be interesting. That would be an interesting to see more. Because it was just so... I found myself wanting to know, like, well, how did Mickey 3 die? How did Mickey 4 die? And it was just really interesting to, like, see what happened and just the reasoning. And just, like, how kind of heartless some of the scientists were to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, he's still dying, you know, even if he's going to come back.
Yeah, everyone kept asking
him. It still hurts to have a brain parasite.
Yeah. And there's still metaphysical questions. Like, they kept bringing up the Ship of Theseus.
Oh, is that the one I think I highlighted that, actually.
Yeah, the Ship of Theseus is the premise is that if Theseus sails around the world, and as he goes, he has to slowly replace parts of his boat as they break, and when he arrives, there's no wood remaining from the original ship. Is it still the same ship?
And he said, no, that's totally different. If he has to rebuild the entire ship, that's the Ship of Theseus 2, the sequel. And then... I think this is Nasha he's talking to, leans forward. What difference does it make if he replaces every component one by one, or if he replaces them all at once?
It's true.
Which was kind of what happens with Mickey 7. Well, I guess he's getting replaced all at once, but just, someone was saying, you know, your body, like all your cells get replaced throughout your life.
Yeah.
So is that not you anymore?
Because it's sort of the same question as transporters.
Oh, man. I didn't even think about transporters.
He's Thomas Riker.
Oh, man, I love the Thomas Riker episode. That was so sad. Thomas Riker was a duplicate made in the transporter of Will Riker, who was stuck on a planet for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, and then Will Riker got to live his life.
Yeah. So Jason is now... So we cut up the tofu into, you know, vaguely nugget shapes. Maybe how you would picture a rabbit nugget to look. And he is melting some ghee. Did you pre-make that ghee at some point?
I usually make a big batch and I just kind of use it.
Okay. So he's making ghee, or melting the ghee, and we're just going to fry them pretty quickly in the ghee before we bread them and then bake them, right? So we're going to fry them and then bread them?
Correct.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Just started heating the lower oven. We have the potatoes in the upper oven. It seemed a little inefficient to me that they kept flying them up to the ship to talk to the command. Like, that seems like a lot of that seems like a lot of wasted resources.
Why was he not on the planet?
Because the ship was still there.
Oh. Yeah, that did seem like a waste.
Okay, so I am going to need to... Okay, so preheating the oven to 400, slicing the tofu, I mix the breadcrumbs, the cornstarch, the nutritional yeast, salt, and pepper, and the flour. I add flour to another bowl, and a milk to a third bowl. So I'm going to dip the tofu into the flour, then the milk, then the breadcrumbs, and then I'm going to...
Right. Okay. Do you need help?
I don't think so. I think I'm good. I love Nadia.
Nasha?
Nasha. She was great.
Yeah, she was great. And she, you know, she was supportive. Even at the beginning when we first met him and he was stranded in the crevasse, you know, she was really willing to risk herself to save him.
Well, his friend is sort of a dick.
Oh, yeah. He was...
He was a jock.
He was like, oh, I could have rescued you, but it just seemed kind of hard. So I just left.
Well, I guess you find out later that it was because he was afraid.
Oh, that's right, because he was afraid of the creepers.
Right.
Is that what they were calling them in the book?
Yeah, creepers.
Creepers.
I guess I just pictured them as like giant centipedes.
Yeah, I did too. Like kind of like a scorpion kind of centipede things.
And they could chew through metal.
Yeah, they were pretty scary. They had a couple battle scenes, which were a little reminiscent of Starship Troopers to me, just the way that just made me think of Starship Troopers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were kind of biting through legs, and just pretty gruesome. Pretty gruesome stuff.
Reminded me a lot of Armor, which is another military sci-fi book. But yeah, so one of the creepers, the one that saved it, actually, the one that killed Mickey 6 or 5, kept his ocular implant. And throughout the book, he keeps getting, like, these garbled messages, and he thinks it's just, like, Mickey 8. Sleep texting him, but it turns out it's the creeper learning how to communicate.
I like that. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
And I liked how the creepers kind of helped him overcome Commander Marshall then.
Oh, yeah, he totally manipulated the situation. He lied through his teeth.
Yeah.
Because the creepers sort of just didn't care. As long as the humans were willing to stay north of the valley or whatever, they're like, whatever.
I think that's going to come back to bite the creepers in the ass, honestly. Yeah, you know, us humans, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that.
Well, but the humans think the creepers have antimatter weapons.
That's true. So we might do that to keep...
keep the peace.
What is it called? What is it, like, called nuclear disarmament or something?
Oh, mutually assured destruction, like that.
Or it's like a, yeah. Like, you know, we all have nuclear weapons, but we're not using them because... So, what did you think of... and then I also enjoyed the, like, kind of little buddy comedy, the, like, they had to both kind of manipulate, or they had to, juggle being in two places at once. Like,
oh, you mean Mickey 7 and Mickey 8?
Like, oh... I hurt my wrist, so you have to wear a bandage.
Although
on your wrist.
Mickey 8 was a little bit of, you know, he was kind of a dick. Like, he was not nearly as... He was not nearly as cooperative as I would have been.
I feel like he was just hungry.
Yeah, probably.
You know, he just was created, and then he had to eat paste, like 600 calories of paste, while Mickey 7 had, like, stole a tomato from Cat. Yeah, there was a scene where he was having dinner or eating near one of the security guards, Kat, who turned out to be a friend.
A friend of me.
But he took a tomato off her plate, and she did not take that well. She, like, smacked it out of his hand, basically.
Well, that stuff's expensive. I mean, yeah. Really, your only income is food.
Yeah.
You know, so would you join a beachhead colony?
I don't know.
Well, it sounds like...
Probably not.
It sounds like most people aren't even aware of the tale of the Taps.
Maybe if I was 20 or, like, 23 or something.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, I'm comfortable. I can eat as much food as I want. I eat too much food.
And maybe if there was more people, then I had a better chance if I knew for sure that I was going to survive.
Yeah, I don't think I would go now. I mean, maybe. Probably not. Would you be an expendable?
I wouldn't want to die.
No.
I mean, the pain is what would bother me. Like,
yeah.
I don't really have... I mean, I guess as long as my consciousness survives, but, yeah, I wouldn't want to experience those awful deaths.
And just, that's a lot of, like, PTSD and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm breading the nuggets. Should have shallower bowl.
So were you surprised at all when Mickey 8 ended up getting killed?
I think, and then I was sort of surprised how... anticlimactic it was.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it was sort of a, hey, there's a bunch of creepers here, and then he saw a big old group of teeth, and he's like, I guess that's the end of Mickey 8. And poor Mickey 8 never had, you know, his memories are gone.
Yeah, that's true. He never got to download.
But Mickey 7 got to be the last Mickey.
Yeah. Yeah, Marshall was just so terrible how he was like, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna throw you all in the food processor. Because that's how they put him down the chute, like dead bodies, I guess, and return them back into protein. You know, which is horrifying to us as people living on an abundant planet full of food. But if you're on a colony with no food source, you know, it makes a little more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that the big crime for Mickey was... By not recovering his body, he cost the cat, like, them, like, all, a ton of protein they couldn't afford.
Yeah. What does that beeping mean?
I need to toss the potatoes. Actually, if you could toss the potatoes. There's a miss.
Beep, 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 beep. Okay. Timer?
You got some here? Surviving on yams and paste tonight. Living large.
I mean, honestly, I would love living on potatoes.
I would be fine with
that. I love potatoes. They're my favorite food.
How would you feel about crickets?
You know, I hear they're good.
I've had crickets.
Yeah, was it good? And they're, like, crunchy, right?
Yeah, my biggest issue with them was that they were cured in salt, so it was very salty, unpleasantly salty. I thought.
Oh, the crickets?
Yeah. I had them at one of the Jose Andres restaurants.
Huh.
Cricket tacos.
I mean, I guess I'd probably eat them if I had to.
I would definitely.
I mean, I was okay with the, like, red food dye from the beetle shell that was in the Starbucks drink. Do you remember that?
I don't.
Like
10
years ago? So Starbucks used to have a raspberry... Well, they still have a raspberry flavoring, but it used to be... pink. And the way they made it pink was they had a beetle shell, like, extract or crunched up beetle shell in it to make it pink. And people lost their minds over it.
In a bad way?
Yeah, they're like, we don't want to eat this beetle shell. So they took it out, and now it's just white.
Silly people.
Jason has finished breading the tofus. They look really good.
Yeah, they do.
And he is now Just doing a little light pan frying and some ghee. Then they're going to go in the oven.
How long do they need to be in the oven for? I'm on the recipe there.
20 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
Flipping once halfway through. Ooh, vegan whipped ricotta dip. That sounds good, too.
Maybe we should pick books based on recipes instead of vice versa.
I know. I'm rereading Game of Thrones right now.
Oh.
And I'm listening to it, while I'm doing stuff that is kind of boring. So I'm just listening to it. But he really describes food a lot in that book. He does a lot of food descriptions.
I remember liking Game of Thrones. I don't really have a huge desire to read it again.
Yeah, no, after House of the Dragon came out, I got back into it. Okay. I watched it again, and now I'm reading the books again. I listened to this Game of Thrones podcast. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Game of Thrones Electric Boogaloo. It's really good. They go chapter through the books, and they have medieval professors come on and talk about what it was like in medieval times.
The Ringer did a really good job. Good Game of Thrones podcast.
Have you watched any of the Three Body Problem TV show yet?
I watched the first one.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I liked it.
I've been really enjoying it.
Oh, so, okay, cool. How far are you?
I've watched 5 episodes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And actually, Giggy is liking it, too.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of violence.
I mean, I did warn him, I'm like, the first scene is probably going to be the worst. Because that's the scene that takes place during the Chinese.
Well, I like that they sort of pushed that back a little bit. It wasn't in the first episode.
No, it was.
Well, her at the...
Or just, the Chinese Revolution scene where they're, kind of, murdering...
Yeah, the first episode ends with her
pushing... crowd.
The first episode ends with her pushing the button, kind of.
Yeah. So, I that makes me... I'm like, oh, I'm glad he likes it. Because he can be a little picky. I can be picky, too. Everyone's picky on what they like.
I like subtitles, but it threw me off that was the only option. Mm. Nowadays, things are dubbed so often.
Well, I was trying to watch Shogun, too, on... I don't know what channel that's on, but that's not subtitled at all. Or it's not dubbed at all.
Yeah.
And same thing, I'm like, it's hard for me to read the subtitles. Jason is now spraying the baking. Those look so good. Look great.
Big question will be if my husband Mark likes them.
You think he'll try one?
I think he'll try one.
We gotta make something he likes next time. We made lentil soup last time.
He didn't love that.
He didn't like lentil soup. I had lentil soup from the store yesterday, or today, for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I wish I had our lentil soup. It probably was just as easy to make.
Lentils are great. I've become a big fan.
So do you think you're gonna read the sequel to Mickey 7?
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, there's a sequel.
I don't see why not.
I might read it at some point.
Because I liked Mickey 7.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel down afterwards.
Nope.
It was upbeat.
Yep, hopefully.
I liked the characters.
Yeah, I thought it was a really neat concept. It was well done.
These in the oven for 10 minutes, and then we'll flip them.
Awesome. Ludwig is sitting in front of the oven right now, supervising. He's a... What kind of dog is he?
He is a Basset Hound Terrier mix, whatever that means.
I mean, honestly, you can see how they're related to seals and whatnot when he sits. Because he looks just like a seal. With his paws and his tail.
Cool. Hey, Google, set a timer for 10 minutes.
Sure, 10 minutes. And we're starting now.
Woohoo.
Cool. So I made the chia seeds overnight because I needed to sow. Well, I made them this morning. And, so I guess once the yams are going to be done in 20 minutes, as will the tofu, and we will have our chia seed pudding, and, we'll send y'all pictures.
And next month we're going to be reading Bodies by C. Spencer, which is a graphic novel, and also a Netflix show, which I should be getting tomorrow.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
So.
Cool. So everyone have a wonderful April.
Bye.